Hey everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 117 for Thursday, November 29th, 2012. Holy crap, it's almost December. Oh, I can't believe it. Welcome back to the show. We are back after the Thanksgiving holidays for those of us in the States, which is most of us, but you know what? We're worldwide too, so thank you rest of the world for putting up with our Americanism stuff. And this week we've got with us Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hey, what's happening?
And Mickey Papillon from thecellphonejunkie.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Lurking in the background, we have Renee Ritchie, as always, and I might pull him into the conversation here in a minute. So if you hear a fourth voice, that's who that is. So what's going on? You guys have a good Thanksgiving?
As good as it can be, I guess. You know, yeah. It's a good good weekend. I never feel like the holidays. I hate to talk about weather, especially to have a tech podcast, but It was like 80 to 85 degrees here over the last week, and that's not to rub anything in. It does not feel like the holidays. It does not feel like Thanksgiving, and I kind of get bummed out about it. I grew up in the Midwest, and I don't appreciate it. I like the kind of the crisp weather, and I didn't get it this year. I don't like
it. We're into the 50s now, I think. That's, decent. That's like I have to put on socks weather. All right, it's not that
cold. Not there yet. Still wearing shorts every day.
Oh, man. So, I kind of don't know what we want to talk about. I mean, I guess we got to talk about Google Play again. When's Google going to... Look, we've talked about this before. We've said it. Google, we trust you with our search. We trust you with our email. We trust you with our personal pictures and stuff. Why can't you sell me something normally? Why is that so difficult? So the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 10 went back on sale. What was that, Wednesday? No. Was that yesterday? Day before?
Tuesday.
We got an email at like 10 in the morning my time that it was going to go on sale like 4 hours later. So like locked myself in the house. And it's like, all right, I don't know if they're going to go early. So let's check. And it took... I don't know, probably a good 45 minutes after it went back on sale before I didn't see something that said sold out. Jerry, how'd it go for you?
Not very well at the beginning. I mean, we were like everybody else, just hammering the daylights out of it, which certainly doesn't help.
No.
But then, what was it, about 8 o'clock, we decided, let's try it again. And I went in, took 3 seconds, and ordered two Nexus 4s. I mean, it finally did get straightened out, but by that time, you're on a, 5 week waiting list?
Mine said 1 to 2, I think.
It depended on which model you went. So my experience was actually quite different. I was able to get in right away. For me, I think it went on right at 1, because it was noon Pacific, so it was 1 o'clock. And they were both showing up with availability right at noon. That went down at, or right at 1, excuse me. That went down right at a minute after 1. Mm. It took a minute for it to go up and then go down. So I futzed around with it for probably 15 minutes before I finally said, forget it, I'm done. I'm not going to do this. And I went back about an hour later and happened to be on Twitter kind of searching around and figured out the whole, tab over to the proceed button and then hold down the enter key and was able to get through and process one right away. But at that point I was at 4 to 5 weeks. But this is the eight gig model. So right. I guess it'll be a happy New Year's present.
I've got two coming. One for me and one to do something with. I don't know, maybe we'll give it away. I think Jerry, you ordered a couple more for us to give away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, so I mean that's the next question. When are they coming? I mean, it was just bizarre because you would think if they're going to send it out an email in the morning that, hey, we're going live, later in the day, it would work. Why would you send out an email if it's just going to be the same crap all over again?
I have to wonder if they hadn't sent the email out, I'll bet it would work better.
I know. Why not just
they sent the email out and then, at a minute before noon out in San Francisco, every nerd on the internet started just smashing the keys, and that can't help things. And I just don't get why they did it that way. Just sneak it out there and not say anything.
Or put them back on sale like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then, get a few out and then worry about the rest of us when we wake up. I would have been okay. I mean, I would have been pissed, but I would have been okay with that.
But they're still available now. You can still go and order it right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, so what's the wait time now? Like 7-8 weeks?
It's and the 16 gig is 6 to 7, and the 8 gig is 8 to 9.
Ouch. That's out of stock. That's not.
Yeah, that's a pre-order at that point.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's not the way it should be done. And again, I mean, it's not like they're lacking processing power, right? It's obviously it's not all allocated in the same places. But, I mean, if anybody should figure out how to be able to sell stuff and keep those websites up, you think it'd be Google. It kills me. It really does. And I don't know what to say.
I want to hope that Larry and Vic and Sergey were like playing ping pong or something, or watching these big monitors and saying, "Oh, look at that! Look, that guy can't get one either." And they just, you know, had a whole hell of a fun time with it. But I don't think that was how it went down. I imagine some people really screaming in Mountain View.
It can't be good. I asked our store guys. I was like, "Is this ever?" Like, I mean, what is it? What do you think it takes for this to happen to Google? And they're like, I can't even imagine the crush that they're under. It's like, no, we, you know, our store Shop Android has never gone down because of that anyway. So I don't know. It's, I understand it's apples and oranges, but it just looks bad as well. It's like, here's this awesome phone, and it's not even that it's out of stock. You just can't get the damn thing to work. And it was like, all right, it's out of stock. Oh, wait, I see it. Oh, it aired out. All right, clicking again. Refresh, clicking again. Oh, I got one in the cart. All right, proceed. Error.
I think Renee just hit it on the head right there in the chat. I think their store software is crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that's what it was. I mean, it's not that they're lacking you know, like server power to do it. It's just, it's not built robustly, right?
That's the best thing I can figure out. You know, although we say it looks bad. It looks bad to us nerds, but to the average person, it's, oh, wow, people wanted those phones so bad, they instantly crashed the website trying to buy them.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like it's the end of the world for Google, for the average people out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mickey, is your anticipation even higher now that you have to wait 6 months to get the phone or whatever it is? I mean, you could buy, you could order a car from Japan quicker than this at this point.
You can order just about anything quicker as long as it's, you know, now available. But, yeah. You know, actually, it's quite the opposite. I'm kind of frustrated with it. You know, at one point I had the 16 gig in my cart because I was just, I wanted to get it in sooner than 4 to 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, I just don't need it. I honestly do not need the storage. And so there was no real compelling reason to spend the extra $50. And so I said, fine, I'll just wait for it. So now I'm sitting here thinking, do I even bother, you know, at this point? Mm-hmm. Because this is going to be a secondary device. It's not going to be something that I'm going to have a main SIM card in. I'm not going to be doing phone calling on it. It's going to be data only, you know. And I just I don't know. I'm really frustrated by the fact that I, you know, as on top of it as I thought I was, it's still a 4 to 5 week wait, you know. And this was at an hour later, maybe an hour and a half later, and it was already at that point.
Yeah.
At least I'm not at 8 to 9 weeks like some of these other ones are showing now. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see 3 weeks from now when I'm still 2 weeks out if I decide to even keep the order in place. You know, part of me says maybe be opportunistic with it and try and, you know, get it and use it for a while and then sell it or potentially just, you know, I don't know, just cancel the order altogether. I don't know at this point. I'm a little frustrated by the whole process. I just don't know.
Jerry, you've had yours for what, a week, 2 weeks now? Has it been 2 weeks?
I got it. It's been almost 2 weeks, a week ago Monday.
Yeah, I've had it for, almost a month now. and I don't mean that to be like, haha, look how long I've had it. But the point is, I've had it for a month and I haven't broken it yet. Jerry hasn't broken his back after 2 weeks.
No, and I've got a room here. I raise lizards, and I've got a room here that's 85.
That's not a euphemism. He actually does raise
lizards. I actually raise lizards, yeah. And I've been out playing Ingress, and it's 20 degrees outside, and I walk right into where it's 80 degrees, and my glass hasn't cracked yet. So just, I don't buy this temperature is causing.
I don't know. And Jerry's referring to Callan from Droid Life. You know, supposedly took his out of his pocket and the heat from his hand. You know, and then onto a cooler. I think it was not marble but stone. You know, counter or whatever. And I just don't see there being enough of a temperature change there to do it. Something else has to be going on. And I mean, that's not to say that it didn't break. If it broke, it broke, right? But I'm not seeing enough numbers. I don't know how many Nexus 4s are out there, right, in the field. So it's hard to say, you know, how many is a lot at this point. But just not seeing the kind of numbers that I would expect to hear about if there was really a problem with this thing breaking. I mean, Jerry, do you think that's just not right, or?
Hey, you know what? Maybe a lot of them are getting broken and nobody's saying anything about it.
No.
I'm certainly not hearing.
No.
No, I've heard from Kellen over at Droid Life and Josh.
Yeah, Josh Topolsky of The Verge broke his. We had a couple people in the forums, but they dropped him. So I mean,
yeah, you drop it or you banged a table while it was in your pocket. I mean, that's...
That happens. I get that.
That's going to happen.
And Kellen broke an Optimus G. I need to talk to him, actually. I haven't talked to him in a while. And but, you know, the brakes looked similar. I mean, just something's up. I'm not getting the feeling that... there's just something inherently wrong with the phone. I mean, Renee, the iPhone, you know, the iPhone 5 is back to aluminum, but the iPhone 4, even for, you know, being, I guess, twice as, having twice the possibility of breakage since two sides were glass, I mean, there wasn't a problem with, like, spontaneous just, oh my God, it shattered.
Spontaneous shatter bustion?
Yeah.
No, usually glass will. This is chemically treated glass too. This isn't the same kind of glass that you and I think of it for windows.
Right.
And usually that'll only break under temperature if there's a defect in the glass. Like when you buy a new set of glasses, put them in the dishwasher, and one of them explodes, it's because that one had a defect. It's not a problem with glasses everywhere.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it at this point. I'm just not hearing the numbers that would make me think that here's a poorly designed device. And I mean, I've seen where they test these things. I've seen how they test them. You know, there are these little plungers that come straight down on the glass and push over and over. And I mean, we've all seen, you know, video of this stuff. And it's, you know, they test these things. Chat room saying that, yeah, the back is not Gorilla Glass. I mean, that goes way back to the Optimus G, and still can't get anybody to officially say it. But I mean, even with the Optimus G, we talked about the glass being this non-glass substance that's glass. And I think it had to do with the fact that it's not Gorilla Glass and they didn't want to confuse matters. I mean, it was just a big mess.
There are non-Gorilla chemically treated glasses out there that a lot of manufacturers
have. Absolutely. But I mean, this goes all the way back to when I was in Korea and they were first showing us this thing. And very explicitly, they're like, yeah, don't call it Gorilla Glass because you know we're not calling the glass the back of it glass, you know. And watch my head, you know. We're not calling the back of the phone glass, even though it is.
You remember what happened with the iPhone, Phil? Right, like the iPhone 3G and 3GS had plastic, and that would crack around the edges, and then the iPhone 4 and 4S had glass, and that would shatter. Now the iPhone 5 has aluminum, and oh my God, it chips and scratches. I mean, these phones are used. Everything is going to have a drawback.
Yeah, and I've got a couple. I've got a couple little ones, and it depends on where the light's hitting it. But honestly, if I'm not thinking to look at it, well, I mean, now that I look at it, I see more. I think the reflectivity of it and the design underneath it helps maybe hide them a little bit. I mean, just from casual view. That said, when I was up in New York last time and showing it to some people who'd never seen one before, this is the day that it was going on sale. You know, the first thing I said was, oh, look at those scratches. I don't know. I still like it a lot. That said, I picked up.
Is it worth a wait? Is it worth a 5-week wait though, or a 9-week wait in this case?
It depends on where you're coming from. In your special case, Mickey, let's face that. Mickey is a special case, boys and girls.
The answer is yes.
It's worth the wait. Period.
If only for Photosphere.
Oh, brother.
Why? You don't like Photosphere?
Right.
You don't like it?
Trying to get Mickey on board with the photosphere. Come on, man. You can take pictures of your kids and the desert and your kids in the desert. And
and you've now exhausted all of the photo opportunities I have.
No.
So let me just ask you, though. I mean, if you're someone who's trying to figure out if this is the right device for them, and I know I'm a special case, I understand, but if I'm trying to figure out if this is going to be worth the wait, and I'm up against some of these other fantastic devices right now, I mean, I'm doing everything I can not to run out today, not to run out and buy that the Note 2 on Verizon, right? And I'm taking the time not to go out and buy the DNA. So why is it that this is the device other than it's a Nexus? And maybe that is the answer.
I was really surprised when we did those should you upgrade things, and we did polls with them. And I was really surprised how many people coming from the Galaxy Nexus said they weren't going to upgrade. Now, I have a feeling a lot of them were on Verizon. So that's a whole nother thing. All right, yeah. I think it's a Nexus is a good answer. I think it's a valid answer. And especially because if you have to have latest and greatest software because you have to, you know, if you have to have Android 4.2.1 today, this is the phone you have to have, right? Or still a Galaxy Nexus, but that's only going to last so much longer too. For $300 or $350, great price. The camera is good enough. It's not the best by any stretch of the imagination, but it's pretty good. I like Photosphere. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting to try to, you know, get good ones. I had a really, you know, I was out of the beach last weekend and the sun was like, oh, it was killing me. And almost did them really well. And I had like one or two spots that it just didn't get. And I couldn't tell when I was doing it because the sun was in my face. But I'm enjoying that. I haven't tried Ingress yet on any other phones, but I guess we shouldn't count that yet. We'll talk about Ingress in a minute. I love the design. I love the design of the back. I think LG did a really cool thing with the what do they call it? Crystal reflective process. I don't know, Jerry. What else do I like?
$299 gets you in.
Yeah,
unlocked
off contract.
Me, that's all of it right there. Is you can spend the same amount of money you would spend on a high quality smartphone from a carrier. And it's yours. Hmm. There is no contract to sign, no nothing. And
did you end up doing the 8 gig or did you bump it up to 16?
I admit I tried to get 16. Phil told me to try to get as many 16s as I can the first time. But when the 16 sold out, I got 1 8 to sneak through the first go around when they first went on sale. Hmm. And I'll be honest, I would have been happy with a 4 gig for even $50 cheaper.
Well, here's why you wouldn't have been happy with that, and just only for the OS.
Well, that gives me a gig left for, you know, apps. I have less than a gig of apps installed there now.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm just saying, more is always better, and especially for the price, for an extra $50, I think it's a no-brainer, whether or not you think you need it now.
I disagree with that. I think it depends on what your use case is. If you're someone who doesn't necessarily use a lot of storage on the device, I have zero songs on my phone. I have zero videos on my phone. The majority of the space is taken up by photos. And if you're telling me I've got a good enough camera, that's not going to push me to use this camera. You know, that's I'm going to use a phone that's got a better camera on it. Mm-hmm. Now, if this is my only phone, I'm probably going to choose the 16 gig. But I think in a few cases, and maybe I'm alone, maybe it's very, very few cases, this is going to be a secondary device just because they don't have LTE, which is a whole other story, right? And I'm still kind of bummed about that. But I don't know. I just don't see – I mean, I like Jerry. If there would have been a 4 gig version, if they could have figured it out, you know, I think I would have probably done that too.
The LTE thing absolutely is another consideration. I'm getting yelled at for not getting, you know, mad about it, but apparently people don't know me. I mean, it is what it is. Me bitching that it doesn't have LTE isn't going to change the fact that it will not have LTE. And let's not get started on the whole, well, it does have LTE thing. It won't for long. And go back and if you haven't yet, go listen to the talk Jerry and I did with Brian Klug from Anon Tech on Tuesday. it's really insightful if you haven't heard it yet. And Brian's just an amazing guy and really understands the stuff well. I mean, yeah, it's got AWS, you know, band 4 LTE, but not officially, you know, not even legally at this point. And just, I'm not expecting it. I do not consider this an LTE device, period.
No, but I just want to point out something. 441 markets is what Verizon has right now with LTE. It's a major oversight with this device. Major.
But this phone doesn't work on Verizon at all.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, you could have said that about T-Mobile if this would have been a conversation that we were having, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh well, it's only got, or you know, or maybe AT&T. It's only got TDMA in it. It doesn't have GSM.
We had this conversation last year about HSPA plus 21 on the Galaxy Nexus.
It's, I mean, and look back to the mess we had on the Galaxy Nexus last year on Verizon, and everybody had to wait or import because, you know.
But no, what Mickey's saying, it just hit me. That's true on the GSM Galaxy Nexus. Mm-hmm. We were all bitching because it didn't have high speed HSPA plus on it.
Right.
So I never thought of it that way.
I guess, you know, and part of it, too, is my personal opinion on this. And I was an AT&T customer for a couple of years, and then I switched over to Verizon. And then the lack of choice of devices pushed me back to AT&T. But then the lack of really good service when I was traveling made me just finally give up on them. And as I've been kind of watching AT&T and their rollouts here of LTE, I've been impressed, but at the same time, I'm still, you know, questioning how far behind they are on Verizon. And maybe you've got LTE in the city that you are with AT&T, but you don't have the Verizon coverage out there yet. And that's, and it's just, I don't know. I switched over to Verizon, and I'm as happy as I can be. Joey and I, Joey's my co-host on the Cell Phone Junkie, and I were talking about this today. So pleased at the Verizon network, and and I know it's very expensive, and a lot of people are picking up the Nexus because they love it on, you know, a carrier like a Straight Talk or some of the prepaid plans that T-Mobile has, and that's awesome. And I think this is a really good opportunity for people that are looking to save a little bit of money. But at the same time, for those that want to pick it up and use it on other carriers, are not going to have that opportunity here. And this is a very regional thing, right? I mean, this is a U.S. conversation. Everyone else in the world thinks we're, you know, whatever.
No, they're tired of us talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know what? I'm kind of tired of talking about this tonight.
Well, hey, since you asked, Droid DNA, perfectly awesome phone. I like it a lot. It's a little too tall for me. I think I prefer something a little bit smaller. And, you know, we've talked about it before. And the 1080p display, I'm not convinced it's necessary over the 720. I'm perfectly fine with 720. But holy crap, this display makes anything on Samsung devices look horrible now. I picked up the GS3 or the G-Nex, and it's just like, oh my God, it looks terrible.
But not the Nexus, right? The Nexus screen.
No, the IPS, I mean, it's IPS is 720. It's not as good, but it's certainly leaning closer to the LCD side at 1080 than, you know, a Pentile display from Samsung. And the 720p of the 1X. It's a really nice phone, and I'm happy to see everybody who's gotten it already is enjoying it, and the battery life's not nearly as bad as people thought it would be before they ever actually used the phone. And man, I got crap for that too. Well, you know, this review is horrible. You didn't say a bad thing about it. It's a damn good phone. HTC did a nice job with it. Oh, do I have it here? Yeah. I mean, I tell you, I cannot wait to get like Android into this HTC 8X body, like the Windows Phone. This I picked one up because I need to finally experience Windows Phone. And I mean, this is just a sexy phone. This thing feels good in the hand. I want Android on it so bad. I have a feeling we're going to see it in 2013 or something like this. I don't think you're going to have quite the same edging and stuff, but it's nice. And I mean, this is like the DNA's little brother at this point. It's going to be good. I mean, assuming she's still around, they'll still be around. They're not going anywhere that fast, but they're still having issues. So we saw the change in their, kind of marketing strategy. So Jason McKenzie, who was doing sales, I think he was doing sales and marketing. That's not his exact title. It's close, but he was basically doing both jobs. So they've split it up and he's going back to doing sales and they brought in somebody else to do marketing. And so, I mean, I think it's probably a good thing. And you know, I say that like I understand what goes on in the offices in Bellevue, but, yeah, it's probably not as big a deal as people think. I don't think it's like some drastic shift, but hopefully they can get it done. I still really like them as a company, and I want to see somebody take on Samsung. Just God, they got a lot of money to throw around. It's insane.
Yeah, having one company get that big is not good for the system as a whole.
Yeah, it's really not. And you know, and I like Samsung, and I like HTC, and I'm glad to see, you know, LG did a nice job with this phone, and I want more people to get it. And we've talked about it before, how we want every company to have a Nexus, and the DNA is nice. So if you're on Verizon, absolutely a valid choice. In fact, I recommended it to somebody today. It's so much fun when people I haven't talked to in years, you know, like since high school, start asking, what should I get? Oh, you want to hear something fun, Mickey, that Jerry and I found out?
Let's hear it.
About the DNA. So somebody pinged me on Twitter about, how come nobody's mentioned the multi-touch problems on the DNA? So what are you talking about? They said, well, it won't recognize more than two touch points at a time. You know, one, two. If you put a third finger on there, it won't see it. And some just didn't sound right, and it didn't register. And I was talking to the HTC guys about it, and they finally explained it to me. I was like, oh, my God, I should have thought of that. So go back to the HTC Media Link, which is the I forget if it's DLNA or Wi-Fi Direct. It lets you stream your phone to your TV, right? So you can mirror the screen, you can watch a movie, and then do something different on your phone or whatever. To initiate that connection, you do a three-finger swipe up on the phone like that. So Jerry and I, as we're trying to debug this stuff and figure it out, we knew that the phone will recognize more than two touches because I turned on show touch points in the developer options, and I can see three, four, well,
we,
five.
We even thought of the three-finger swipe.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah, but we never took that thought any further, did we?
So anyway, if you turn the three-finger swipe to turn on the Media Link, it goes back and works in the applications. So not a big deal. Crisis averted.
Yeah, but we said the hardware has to accept three touches because you flip to the TV with three fingers.
Yeah.
And we never put two and two together.
And it's like, ah, damn it. We should have thought of that. So I'm a fan of the DNA. I don't know what else is. I don't know if we're getting anything else this year. Do you guys think we are? There's still one more unannounced phone for AT&T, I believe, that I might or might not have seen on a production line. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I don't think it ever got announced. Did it? Maybe you did.
I thought that was Verizon.
Yeah, no. That was the Spectrum 2. That's announced. But there was a second one we saw.
Good God, I can't keep track of all this.
I know. There's so many right now. I'm not sure if it's out yet or not. Let me look.
It's awful close to Christmas, and it's already
out. Oh, yeah, no. I think we reviewed it. The LG Escape. Yeah. All right, it's out. Never mind. Good. So that one's done. What about, wasn't there was it the Droid X HD, or did that ever become something else? Was that rumored and we just never, I don't know. I think we're done.
Because we saw some sort of weird render of, and yeah. I don't think anything ever came of that.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think we're done hardware-wise. Android 4.2.1, it's out. For what that's worth, for the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 7 and on the Genex as well. I don't know. I mean, it fixed the calendar thing, and Jerry, and what else? It fixed the Bluetooth.
It allows you to use Bluetooth
gamepad
joysticks as a mouse.
Yeah, which cool.
That's all it does, folks. That's the change log right there.
Yeah.
So if you're wanting it to fix some sort of odd issue you're having, it's not going to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for some fixes, I think. Something just feels odd about 4.2.
They had to push that calendar fix out before the 1st of December.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I get that. There could be another fix coming next Monday, who knows?
How is that an oversight? I mean, it wasn't an oversight before. I mean, it was correct in all the other versions. What changed? How did that happen?
they changed something else.
Yeah.
To make it so you can't have a -1 in the calendar picker for the month. And nobody realized how that would affect the calendar picker in the People app, because that's a newer app, was designed after all these other apps with the spinner. And at least this is the explanation I got. And that made it everything go back by one, made the 12 disappear. It just went from 11 to 1. All it displays is what corresponds to those numbers. You know, 1 is January, 11 is November. And there was no 12 in code to be displayed because they kicked it out.
It's one of those things.
Yep. Two different departments that just made improvements that didn't work well together. Happens all the time.
You mean people are supposed to test the stuff and actually take time and release it when it's ready? I want it now, Jerry.
No, got to send it out right away, no matter what.
Or, stuff like that happens, and next thing you know, you get, you know, LTE on phones that shouldn't have it. So that's out there. Something else that's weird that's happened was, and I haven't written anything on it yet because I haven't had time to really explore it, but so we got the new keyboard with 4.2, and on my Nexus 7, it made the default keyboard the default again. And it kicked SwiftKey to the curb. And actually, I finally looked something up today. I've seen a couple people say it was uninstalled altogether. I need to look into that more. But that's...
I got to looking into that, and I was going to tell you later tonight.
Oh, yeah?
My Nexus 7, I didn't ever get the OTA.
Right.
So I just downloaded it and forced it. Didn't change mine at all.
Really?
SwiftKey is still the default keyboard. Still there. As far as I can tell, it's still got all the dictionary stuff all saved just as it was.
And if I remember correctly, I think I pushed the updated images over, like Fastboot updated them. So maybe if you took the OTA, it wiped it. I don't know. It's weird, though. It's just odd that it would do anything. And again, it goes back to just so many odd things in this 4.2 update and stuff that just doesn't quite feel right.
There's reports out there people can install SwiftKey 3 from the market, and this is for phones, and it won't show up after it's installed.
Right.
So there is some weirdness going on somewhere.
Oh, Mickey mentioned the Verizon Galaxy Note 2, so I'll have one tomorrow. It's a Galaxy Note 2, right? With the Verizon logo on the button. Quentin from Fandroid noticed something interesting tonight, though. And that is, so we knew previously that SwiftKey is actually on the Galaxy Note 2 in terms of they use the API or the SDK. So it has SwiftKey prediction. And we knew it had like the trace typing or whatever, right? But what's interesting is on the Verizon one, and apparently on the Sprint Galaxy Note 2 as well, Samsung changed the name from continuous typing, which is what I have here on the T-Mobile version, and it's on the rest of the worldwide version as well. But they changed it, and it now says SwiftKey Flow on there, which is interesting. But it's not actually the SwiftKey keyboard. It's the SwiftKey prediction and the new SwiftKey Flow tracing. But, you know, because it's part of the SDK and it's their APIs, but it's not the same keyboard that we're still waiting on. So that was interesting, I thought. Kind of. All right, not really.
Yeah, it's interesting how they got to wonder what process they went through to put that name in there.
Yeah, it's just odd, especially since it's not the SwiftKey keyboard that SwiftKey itself is going to be selling. Just something weird about that, too. I don't know. I don't know. Looking forward to using SwiftKey Flow, though. That'll be interesting. I'm still not sold on the whole swiping thing to type. I'm fine with just pecking it out, but...
I can't see through my thumb to do that. I just can't do it, but I've tried, and I just can't, so...
What else is going on? Google Plus user reviews in Google Play. That's a good thing, I think, right? So...
If you
review an app, it's tied to your Google Plus account, and they can see your name and your face and or whatever your avatar is. I like that. I think that's good. I think having your name attached to your opinion is a good thing, which is why I think, with one exception, since I've been editor at Android Central, why we use our names on things we write, because I want people to have to stand behind them, right or wrong. Mickey, what do you think? How does the App Store do it? I don't remember. How does Apple do it?
You know what? I don't remember. Is it a username? I don't know. That's a good Renee question. It's just an email address, isn't it?
I can just open it up and look. Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. And
well, like I said to somebody in the forums, if you have the ability to say something that affects another man's livelihood, you should have your name behind what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, you got to do something to stop all these F you, app sucks, go Samsung, la 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 la.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of stuff just is not helping.
So that's good. Ingress, if you haven't seen it, it's this bizarre game that, I guess it's a game, right, that Google's doing. Jerry, what's the purpose of it? Actually, let's try to explain what it is, I guess. Like, it uses Google Maps, and I finally got an invite this week.
It's a ploy to collect free data from people who think they're playing a game. Watching every move is what it is, but it's fun.
Yeah, it is. So you like have to collect XM or, you know, like energy or whatever, and then claim portals and attack other people's portals and link portals and resonator. I mean, it's kind of cool. I drove around for a little bit today. I mean, in a smaller town like mine, it's going to take a little work. And actually, I've already changed factions so that I can go against the one or two other people who were here instead of it all just being each other. Like, all right, hey, how's it going? Like, I'm going to play against somebody. I'm going to New Orleans in a couple weeks, though, so that should be a little more fun. So instead of paying attention to my wife on her birthday, I'll be playing Ingress, I guess. Probably. But no, I mean, Jerry, you're right. You're giving people, you know, you're giving Google information in exchange for a free game.
It's actually so fun. I don't mind them having it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Fair trade for me. When I first got it, when it first came out, I don't know how that happened, but I got this invite, and there was nothing within like 50 miles of me, and I'm like, yeah, this is going to really suck. And then all of a sudden last week, they popped in like four portals around where I live, and then about 50 down in the town, you know, we drive to when we want to go to town. So I'm having a little bit more fun with it. Been going out every night and making sure nobody's snatches my stuff up and keep it green.
I could see them. I mean, Mickey, you deal with like businesses and people that own stores and stuff. Could you see them? I mean, it's almost like a Foursquare's type thing. Like, instead of checking in, you know, you have portals at locations. Like, there are a whole bunch of the fire stations around here and libraries. So, I mean, you're in effect almost checking in. I mean, could you see like a business being like, you know, come help our portal? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, tying it into their business somehow? Does that make sense?
You know, possibly. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't have an invite, so I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. But, you know, it sounds intriguing. I'm not sure, I guess, too much on this yet. I don't know if I can add a whole lot to it, just because I haven't. Reading about it has been a little confusing at best, and so without having tried it out, I feel kind of the same way I did before I tried out Foursquare, which was, I don't even know what this is. I don't know what's going on here.
It's science fiction based. There are these portals, and the portals end up on some sort of landmark. Where I live close to this little Civil War skirmish, and there's three little spots where they had, you know, Union and South fought each other. Each one of those gets what's called a portal. You go to the portal, you can capture it for your team. There's two teams. And the more you visit it and the more you, they call it hacking, interact with this portal, the stronger the portal gets. And of course, your job is to capture all the portals for your team. And the other team's job is to capture all the portals for theirs. And that's pretty much all I can see that it is. There's not much more to it as far as I can tell.
Do you have to physically go to these places then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And get close enough.
So it's not like Foursquare where you can just like fake your way into checking into a place?
I have tried. If you have mock locations enabled on your phone, the app won't even start up. So I can't see any way to spoof it. Some people say that people must be spoofing it, but I can't see how.
So you have to go around to places to do this. You said there's only two teams, though?
Yeah. The Resistance or the Enlightened.
Well, clearly you'd want to be the Enlightened, wouldn't you?
Yes, clearly. No matter what anybody else says, you are absolutely right.
There you go.
Yeah,
I don't even know. Still, I mean, I hear this as like, okay, so this is an interesting thing, but what does this actually do for a business, right? I mean, other than...
And that's my question. Like, where can they take it? What could they do with it in a year? I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, it can't just be this fun thing. I mean, I guess it can. Google does cool, fun things like that all the time. But there's got to be some ulterior motive at some point with this. It can't just be... You know, figuring out where you are at some given time to play this.
But could it? I mean, absolutely, it could be.
Sure.
I mean, that's Google's kind of. I mean, this is like a real world search, is it not? I mean, it's going to a place, and they've made it into a game.
They know how many times I've been within 30 feet of six different locations to the second.
Yep.
They know exactly when I've been there, how long I stayed there. And that's got to be useful for something.
What a better way to serve up an ad on a physical brick and mortar store than knowing exactly where you are.
Well, and right now the game has to be open, right, for you to trigger any of this stuff. So that's, you know, that's.
Oh, and it's a battery killer.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I mean, they warn you a little bit, or, you know, ask anyone who's played it. Like, that's not a surprise. Between the screen being on and the GPS. And God knows what else it's doing. Yeah, I tell you what else I've kind of enjoyed for the past couple weeks now. So way back with the Thunderbolt, when they first had the Qi charging covers for it, Energizer had sent us one of those charging pads to try out. And we gave that one away. And so I just bought a new one because the Nexus 4 uses Qi and the Droid DNA uses Qi. I kind of miss it. You know, when you have these phones like the 8X will wirelessly charge, but not over Qi. I thought I had one other phone too, but maybe not. Is that what's next? You can buy cases that'll boot for the iPhone, but are we finally to the point where this thing is going to work?
I can't remember who posted it today. There was an article about this, about trying to figure out the actual next, the next version of this, which is going to be, you get the phone within, a meter or a couple of feet of something, and that's what actually does it versus setting it on a mat. So you just plug this into the wall that's behind your nightstand, and you put the phone in your nightstand and it charges. That's the way
that
the
wireless charging.
Well, there is a Phil, you've got to remember this because we looked at it and talked about it. There's some proof of concept somebody has with a little device that plugs into your laptop into the USB port. And if your phone's within like 8 feet of your laptop, it'll slowly charge. It's some sort of magnetic induction coil. I'm not sure. It's just at a proof of concept stage, but the ideas are electrically sound. I don't know about, how safe they may be or may not be, but, as far as from an electrical engineering standpoint, it's all physics. There's no reason why it won't work just as it is.
It kind of scares me.
Maybe a little bit, but at the same time, if it's done in a way that makes sense, whether it's either a directed current or something, I think there's got to be a way that they can figure this out because, clearly we don't want, glasses of water on our nightstands, starting to boil while we're sitting there charging the phones, right?
Right. It's not the Energizer pad is not a looker.
Right.
But it's, it's standards compliant.
Sure.
So that makes it look beautiful.
I tell you what, it works, which is more than I can say about Miracast right now, which is still just like this feature that's on the Nexus 4 that it's like, unless I buy an LG TV, This Netgear puck I have out in the living room still doesn't work. And in fact, PR never got back to me after the initial, yeah, it's getting an update. You know, and I'll bug them again this week, I guess, for the third time. But it's like, all right, you know, here's another thing. I'm actually kind of disappointed in that. A couple things, you know, got announced with the phone that just aren't there. You know, wireless charging. I mean, did they ever actually show that half ball thing, or was that just in the Verge video? And I have a feeling might have gotten shown a little earlier than it was meant to. Did they actually announce that? I
can't think anywhere else we've seen it.
You know, so you got that. You've got Miracast, which is still half baked. I mean, it's a standard and it works. I've seen it work. LG showed it to us on the Optimus G, and I'm sure it's the exact same implementation. But, you know, I'm not going to jump through many more hoops other than buying a $40 puck to get it to work, and that doesn't work. So that's another one. You know,
you can go to the AT&T store and get one of those Nokia mats. They work great.
Yeah, I meant to. I need to order one. I was going to get one of those. There was one other one as well. We need to start looking at cases, too. But, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, kill myself getting a TPU case. We all know what those are like. Like, I want to see cool accessories for these things. I want to be able to buy them. There's no car dock. You know, I've got this glass phone I need to do something with in the car. There's no car dock available. Like, this stuff needs to be done. It needs to work. And I understand you have, you know, scale problems here, you know, whereas you're going to sell 10 million iPhones in a weekend, they're going to have accessories ready at launch. I get that. But, I mean, this is just basic stuff, and it needs to be fixed, and it's not, and I'm disappointed. This is as close as I get to being mad and blogging about it, guys. Look at this face. It disappoints me. I'm very disappointed. This is mad for parents. You're like, I'm very disappointed.
Well, you know, let's go back a step. I want something that works with those damn pogo pins on my Nexus 7.
Yeah.
I don't want anything for the Nexus 4 yet. You still got a Nexus 7 to take care of, Google. You know, Galaxy if you Nexus don't make one, nobody else is going to.
No, Galaxy Nexus was the same way, right? It's got the, well, I think, the one dock.
They made them, and Samsung charged $100 freaking a piece for them, and Verizon didn't even want to pick them up. So I won't nail Google on that one. They were designed with Samsung. But it seems like the Nexus 7 just was forgotten.
It's such a strange business. And they never advertised the accessories for the Nexus 7, right? They just leaked out that one time. That's the only time anyone ever heard of them. But, I mean, you want this platform to take off. You want this phone to work. Give me good stuff for it, please. I need a car dock.
Oh, my. The Daydreams deal with the night clock?
Yep.
If I had a little dock to set my Nexus 7 on my nightstand, I would be one happy hillbilly. I could have my music playing softly, little clock there. That would be sweet.
And I don't really want to do it with a USB cable. It's not as cool.
Cables suck.
Cables, seriously. Oh my God, especially with the Droid DNA, because of this stupid door at the bottom of it. That was another one. You didn't mention anything bad about this phone. This was the very first thing I mentioned, was this little plastic door that I hate and I want it to die. 8X doesn't have it, by the way. Just saying.
You just keep there's rubbing that Windows phone in our
bottom
face.
Of the DNA.
There's a little plastic door that covers the micro USB port, which is actually why I finally got the Energizer pad, because I got tired of taking this door off every time I wanted to charge the phone. I hate it.
We need to get those Nokia charging pillows in our store.
Yeah, we do. I wonder what the margins are on them anyway. I go thinking retail again. Oh,
just,
man.
Just long enough for me to get one. Then you can take it back out.
Yeah, no, I need to get one and play with it and see. But again, like, there's another standard that, you know, I mean, the 8X does have wireless charging, right?
I think it does. I believe it does.
But, you know, again, not compatible with the wireless charging stuff I have here, which is dumb.
I think it's really unfortunate that as a consumer, we're hearing about all these standards. And, you know, the word standard really should mean just that it's something that's being used by all the companies. And until we get to that point, they should just be called technologies. Because the fact that you can't charge a Nokia device on the same charging pad as you can charge an LG device, as you can charge a Samsung device. I mean, that's why are there multiple different pieces that are being used there? I mean, it should be, this is not that hard. And I know it's going to ultimately, one's going to flush out, but at the same time, some people are going to be left behind, and that's, it's really annoying.
I'm very disappointed.
You had that company that makes, good God, I can't even think of the name of them. It looks like a little surfboard, and you get cases for your iPhone or cases for your
computer. PowerMat, yeah.
PowerMat, yeah, whatever it is. I've got one of those. I wonder if it works with the HTC that you've got in your hand, Phil.
I think you're right. I think it does. I need to double check that. And, you know, PowerMat actually had done deals with, I want to say it's maybe LaGuardia. There are a few airports. It might be Starbucks, too, to get it integrated in there. And I have talked to some car manufacturers once or twice who, you know, gave me, and this was a long time ago, but gave me a little nudge that they were looking into stuff like that as well. But, yeah, I mean, it's just moving so slow and standards.
I mean, but now we have an IEEE standard with Qi.
Yeah.
That's IEEE has, yes, we love this. Go for it. Make them. There's no reason that everybody can't get on the same page, and you can see it in Starbucks and in your car and at the airport. You just set your phone down and it charges.
It needs to happen. All right, let's do some emails and voicemails. We'll get the heck out of here, if that's cool, if we're allowed. All right, let's start with voicemails. How about we do Ramon first?
Hey guys, my name is Ramon, and I am Ramon M2 in the Android Central podcast. I have a question about the Nexus 7. I'm looking to gift the Nexus 7 to my dad, my mom, and my sister. My sister is 8 years old, and I'm still trying to protect her from the world that is the internet. My question is, does Nexus 7 have the different accounts system that I've seen the Nexus 10 have? Also, does, in order for the accounts system to work, does each account have to have a separate Gmail account? Or can my mom have her account on the Nexus 7 and just create a separate account for my sister that has kind of like parental controls over it as far as like what she can do on said account? If you guys know the answer, please let me know. Thanks for doing the podcast, and I hear you guys every week. Keep doing a good job. Thanks.
Jerry, does that work on the 7? You've used it on the 10.
Yes. Yes, it works on the 7, and his sister will need her own Google account.
So you just
doesn't have to be Gmail, just needs to be a Google account.
You just add the account like you do any other Google account?
Yep. I'm not so sure about what parental controls are on there, though. That's something I haven't really looked into.
I haven't. I haven't seen anything. My kids just
pull them. So
yeah, my kids just pick it up and use it, and that does scare me a little bit. I mean, the number one thing, and it sucks and it's a pain, but I think you have to do it, is if they're using a tablet or a computer, or hell, even watching TV, you are in the room with them, or they are in the room with you.
That's how I did it. You know, if you see something you don't understand, come talk to me, kids.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's nothing that I haven't seen yet.
If it is, we're all screwed. God, my 2-year-old comes in here, finds the iPad, pulls up, she plays, PBS has a really good iOS app, and it's weird. It's in piecemeal on Android, and you have to, buy each one individually. But she'll pull that up, or she'll open Netflix. This is what really scares me, is when she opens Netflix and we'll watch Dora or the Wonder Pets or whatever, because she knows the pictures. But it's like, maybe Netflix has kind of done it right, because there are those two sides of Netflix. There's, the normal side, and then they have the kids zone or whatever it's called. But still, still that she's able to just pick it up and do whatever she wants kind of scares me a little bit. And the other thing is, password protection of some kind, a lock on it or whatever. So.
Well, there are good apps in Google Play where you can pretty much put a lockdown on what your kids can and cannot do.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to get worse before it gets better. All right. How about Fernando's voicemail?
Hey guys, this is Fernando from Miami. This is I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. I wanted to ask you, what do you guys think of if Google will make up a way, like, you know, when you order, back in the day, I don't know if it still exists, when you order a laptop or a PC and you customize it, wouldn't it be cool if you could do that with the Nexus devices? Like, yeah, let's say, I know a lot of people were complaining about the 16 gig storage on the Nexus 4. Wouldn't it be cool if you could just log on and then customize the Nexus 4 phone, even though it's going to cost you an arm and a leg? Like, you know, maybe 64 gig Nexus 4, or maybe $399 or $450, and maybe even, I'm sure, 128 gig flash storage exists, even though it's expensive. Imagine paying $600 for 128 gig storage for Nexus 4. That'd be cool. What do you guys think of that, if Google would do that in the future? All right, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
I think ships in 96 to 128 weeks.
And then you start doing that kind of stuff. Exactly.
It's not a bad idea, but...
No, but good God, Google can... They can't sell the two SKUs they've got.
Yeah. Let's let them get that figured out first. I mean, it's not a bad idea. How is the memory... And I don't know enough about the way the memory's done, but I think you would end up with memory chips. And if they're soldered to the board, you would have to have, you know, a maximum. And then at that point, you know, it's not like right. There are, you know,
well,
four gigabyte chips on there or something. And then you can just take one off at will.
Theoretically, the 64 gigs now don't take up any more space than the 4 gigs.
And you know
they're
what?
Bit more dense and more sides, but
this is the pisser about the Droid DNA, is that going to 32 gigabytes would not have cost Verizon, you know, anything significant.
Just well, wouldn't have. Yeah, but today, what about when they designed that phone 11 months ago?
Well, okay. But I have a feeling they have mechanisms in place for that. And maybe that's how the way it was explained to me is that it's just not that big a price difference now. At whatever time frame. All I'm going to say is you hold out hope for some sort of developer version, possibly with more storage.
And that's, or that slap in the face of a DNA Plus Max.
Maybe. God, I hope they don't call it that. That'd be awful. All right, let's do some emails and we'll get out of here. James writes, I was wondering if you know if there's a GSM version, excuse me, of the Razer Max HD with an unlockable bootloader for sale somewhere. I don't think... Did they ever bring that one to Europe?
If they haven't yet, they will. I know I've seen that. I've seen it talked about, the Max HD World Edition. I mean, I know I've seen that. I just don't think it's happened yet, or maybe it's never going to happen at all, and it was just something that was talked about. But I don't think that you can buy one right now, no.
It's a nice phone. It really is. And in fact, that was another one.
Help.
That was another one somebody asked me about today. It was between the DNA and the Max, and yeah. Good fun. All right. Who wants the next one?
Jerry does.
Okay. When you buy, Khalid writes, when you buy the unlocked developer edition phones that work on Verizon, like the Razer or the S3, is it still up to Verizon to provide the updates, or are they updated along with the international models directly by the manufacturer?
That's a good
also,
question.
Also, do they still have Verizon's bloatware? That is a great question that I have no idea of the answer.
You know, here's my answer. It doesn't matter, because if you're buying it as a developer phone, you're going to get rid of that crap anyway.
Hopefully.
You're either going to root it and get rid of it, so it doesn't matter that it's there, or you're going to put a whole other ROM on it, in which case it's gone. So one way or the other, if you're buying this phone, you're buying it to get it gone. To get gone. Get gone! Get gone!
The people that I interact with on Google Plus or in Hangouts and on Twitter and everything else, I don't know a single person that actually bought one, and that hurts and that bugs me. They didn't make them available in time, and they didn't charge $299 for them. So nobody bought one.
Yep. On the other hand, if they were available in a more timely manner, I mean, you yelled at me for not waiting around for the developer version of the GS3, but I just couldn't wait any longer. Sorry.
Understood. Eventually you had to give in. Yep.
Yeah. And I get that you can't sell them at the same time. Like, that makes sense. But
why?
Because you need to make your money off the ones you can make money off of first. I mean, I get that from Verizon's standpoint. It doesn't mean I like it, but I understand. So,
I would like to see you be able to walk in the Verizon store and say, oh, I want the Galaxy S3 developer model in blue. And it's $199 on contract. You sign a thing that says you get no tech support. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
God, that would be sweet.
All right, Mickey, you're up.
Jordan writes, I will be shopping for a pair of headphones for my new device. I was just wondering, do you have any suggestions for headphones compatible with Android phones that include pause, skip, possibly volume control, all for around $50? I want to get some decent sound out of my Nexus 4. I actually do have a great recommendation. It's a pair of headphones that I use quite regularly. Pretty much whenever I use headphones, these are the ones that I'm using. And those are from Zag, and they are these Zag Smart Buds. And those have a button on them that allows you to do all of that multifunction control on them, and also has a volume slider on there as well. I love them. They do not leave my neck at shows like CES, and they are just incredibly wonderful, wonderful headphones to use. They stay on very nicely. I love them. I use them all the time.
I review the
$50.
The Klipsch. How do you pronounce that? Klipsch.
Klipsch.
Klipsch. I'm saying it horribly. S4As. God, how long ago was that? That was a while ago. January 2012. All right. Wasn't that long ago. But they were specifically made for Android. And in fact, they have an app that goes with them as well. So you can actually, if I remember right, you can remap buttons, which is kind of cool. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You can have default music apps tied into them. Oh, my God. It's so weird looking at this old version of Android. it's just ice cream sandwich, I guess, but still, it looks old.
So now cut that price in half. What do you want to recommend that's half that price?
Well, they're like $74 now, so that's not bad.
Yeah, Klipsch has them for $99.
Well, I mean, that's what my review said, but I'm looking at Amazon. $74. Half
that's
that? I don't
50.
Know.
It's not 50. I have to step down there with Mickey and just look at you with his face that's not 50.
Well, sorry. You don't want to talk to me about headphones. I'm weird about it. I have one pair. I have these that I use for the podcast and I used to travel with and still do sometimes because they're comfortable and they're Bose and they sound pretty good. And then I got these ridiculously expensive Shure's before I went to Korea because I wanted something with noise cancellation. But they're expensive and not as comfortable. And then I got these for when I'm just sitting here and actually need real headphones, which isn't very often. But they sound good. So I have like three pairs of headphones just sitting here, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, headsets are real personal.
They really are.
I went through four or five different things before I settled. Of all things, these are a freak. Panasonic, I think. They cost me like $40, and I love them.
I've been really happy with these Bose. And I get that they're not cheap. And I mean, these are what, $100? Which isn't overly expensive. Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap. I get that. But, you know, as far as headphones go, you can spend, you know, God, these Shure's were way more expensive than I care to admit. You know, to the point where I probably shouldn't have bought them. But, like, you know, for $100 for something that sounds good and that I'm going to use a lot, I'm okay paying that. But
so, yeah, I mean, to that point, that's what I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm. These over-the-ear headphones are Bose headphones. So these are $100 models as well. And, I mean, they're fine. I don't necessarily think that they're the best for listening to music. I use in-ear headphones for that. But for the on-the-go, just general, you know, trying to get something, you know, just to get some good sound out of there that's got a microphone on it. Zag makes a good option there. And I'm trying to find, I have another set as well, and I'm trying to find where they are because they're not within arm's reach. And so I'm trying to search back for when I bought them as far as what they were, and I cannot remember. I can come back to it, though, if I can find them.
And finally, Anthony writes, I've been debating on whether I should get one of the large suite of superphones out there or whether I should wait for CTIA and or MWC. That's, well, I'll talk about the timing in a minute. I'm a Verizon customer and I can't switch carriers. Otherwise, I'd be getting the next four in a question because I'm in a family plan. Is it worth waiting for next year's major events or will we not see anything new on store shelves for a while? Specifically Motorola. So I've always been a huge fan of their design language and build quality. So we'll talk a little more about this in a couple of weeks, I think, because we're only a month out from CES. Mickey and I were talking about it earlier. So we have CES, which is the second week of January.
Second
full week of January. That's in Las Vegas. CES is traditionally just bigger consumer electronics. It's kind of gotten away from smartphones, but Verizon has generally had a pretty decent showing. What was last year?
AT&T had a big event last
year. AT&T as well. AT&T has a separate developer summit that they do out there. It's off-site. Exactly. It's at the Palms again. And I think they dropped something like six phones last year. And some of that was Windows Phone, but a lot of it was Android as well. Motorola has traditionally brought a couple things as well, and usually to Verizon. I need to go back and see what they did last year. So you get a few things out of that, which are, you know, generally released a little bit later. Problem is, I keep thinking back to 2 years ago, which was the Thunderbolt, the
Bionic,
which took forever, and there was one other one that went nowhere.
The Zoom.
The Zoom was a separate event, wasn't it? Maybe not.
But we all saw the Zoom for the first time at CES.
Right, they announced it there, and then I went to California for the Honeycomb thing. And there was one other, there was a lot of Motorola stuff and a lot of Verizon stuff, but then it didn't come out till like 3 and 4 and 5 months later. Mm-hmm. So I think they're probably getting away from that. Now, Motorola is an interesting question now, right, because of the whole Google thing. So I just don't know. If you need something right this second, you know, obviously don't wait. MWC is at the end of February. So like 2012, they moved it back. So instead of the beginning being at the beginning of February, it's at the end of February. And remember, it's traditionally more global devices. You know, you're not going to really see any U.S. announcements there. You might see one or two smaller ones. But that's where HTC did all their flagship stuff for the rest of the year. So we got an idea of what was coming. But I think we got one or two specific U.S. announcements. I think AT&T went ahead and announced that they were doing the One X and maybe one other one. But again, wasn't available for, you know, a couple months after that. I think the One X finally came out either beginning of June or late May. You know, so you're still talking months and months. CTIA is in late May this year or in 2013. That one will be in, where is it? Oh, back in Vegas. Great. Sorry, I shouldn't complain, I guess. And that'll be, you know, there'll be more U.S. stuff there. But, I mean, you're talking, you know, 8 months from now, you know, before CTIA stuff comes out. So that's a long way out. I think we're going to see some interesting stuff from HTC. They're already starting to sound a little excited, I think, which is good. But I think for the next maybe 4 months of it, like actual buying time, this might be as good as it gets right now. There's a lot of really good stuff out there. I mean, the Droid DNA, the Galaxy Note 2 on Verizon, Galaxy S3 is still really good. I would still have no problem recommending the GS3 to anybody. And these GS4 rumors that are out there, yes, whatever's next will be faster and better, just like last year and the year before. Don't read too much into that. Anything else?
But the internet never lies.
Huh?
The internet never lies.
Okay. Or if you need something that's like relatively new and you don't want to pay a lot, you know, find a Verizon Galaxy Nexus off somebody. And, you know, pack that thing. I'd be all right with that.
I say go down to the Verizon store, try the three big ones that are there and pick one.
Yeah.
Waiting is never a good idea because it's a never ending cycle. If you wait for something you see at CTIA, by the time it comes out in June, you're going to be hearing new things that are coming out in November.
There's always something new coming out.
Yep. And what's coming out in November will be a whole lot better than what's coming out in June.
Yeah. Enjoy the phone. It goes back to that, you know, what do we call them at the end of the year last year? The smartphone resolutions. You know, just love the phone you're with.
I mean, I could be completely 100% happy with a Galaxy Nexus until the damn thing actually disintegrates in my hands. There's nothing wrong with that phone.
I'm looking at everything. People say,
Verizon version's behind, blah, blah, blah. If that bugs you, root it and make it so it's not behind. Damn it.
I'm looking at everything that's on my desk sitting right here. With two exceptions, I would use any of these phones right now. So I've got, you want to hear how ridiculous my desk is right now? I've got a Nexus 4. I've got an iPod Touch. I've got a Droid DNA. I've got a Galaxy Nexus, HTC 8X, AT&T 1X, International 1X, Korean Optimus G, which does me no good here, T-Mobile Galaxy Note 2, HTC Thunderbolt. I have no idea why it's sitting here, but it is. Wow, what a brick. It's funny picking that up. And check this out. Who recognizes this? I'm not... Anybody? Chat room, Jerry, Mickey knows what this is.
Oh, I know what that is.
Oh, but... Touch Pro 2.
Touch Pro 2. Sorry for you guys listening at home. You can't see it. My wife's like, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. I can't get
before
rid of it.
Before Renee zoomed in, I was going to say it was the Merge.
I should have bought one. I should have gotten a Merge. All right. I think that's it. I think we're done. We went a little over. That's all right. Mickey, good to have you back. Now you can take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us email to podcasts@androidcentral.com. We can leave a voicemail by calling 888-468-6158, extension 222 is how you leave it there. You can get in touch with us over on the Twitter. At Android Central is the site. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is at GB Hill. Corey is at C Streeter. Alex is at Alex Doby. And you can find all of the other writers over at Android Central. This site, this show, and everything Android Central brought to you by shopandroid.com. Place your orders by calling 888-468-6158.
Everything in the world, all your things belong to us. My kids have been growling at me. Sorry, that's where that came from. Jerry, Mickey, thank you. Chat room, thank you guys. Everybody listening at home later, you rock as well. You do. So, that's it. We're out of here. Be back next week. Seriously, again, nobody's going to say bye.
See you, bye.
I saluted.
God. Such jerks.
Can't salute on the radio.
Yes, you can. It just doesn't go over very well.